Hey everyone, this is John.
And this is John.
This is also John.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best day of Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the first show for the month of December 2021, so it's the Pokemon Show.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Better? Are you excited, John?
I'm alright about it, John.
Alright. How long is this joke going to continue? Are we done with it?
What joke, John? What are you talking about?
He's such a kidder, huh, John?
Well, there is a major Pokemon topic that we're going to be talking about on this show. It is the remakes of the Gen 4 Diamond and Pearl games. But before we jump into that, Ryan, how's Pokemon Go?
Who's Ryan?
Yeah, who's Ryan?
Sorry, John, how's Pokemon Go?
John, let me tell you about it. Pokemon Go is going really fine here. I guess you guys don't really play much anymore. It's kind of like on me. I'm the one that's doing the big...
I still find it funny how you still send us texts like, hey, there's a big shiny event going on. Jump in, guys. I'm like, no. Just.
Well, you should. Like, oh my God, that's crazy.
I feel bad. Like,
literally yesterday, I got a shiny Zekrom. Like, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know how many shiny Zekroms you have.
I have zero shiny Zekroms.
I got that going for me. Yeah, no. So, like, basically for the past month, they've been doing a lot of build up to this. They've been doing a lot of... like fourth gen things, like putting the legendaries from the fourth gen in raids, giving you all of the special stuff. They're showing up more frequently. They're like, again, you were saying I got these shinies. Just I think last week they had a Shinx was showing up as a shiny Pokemon. So I've got about like six of them now, just because, you know, I've been playing it.
Shiny Shinx is really cool.
Yeah, this coming Sunday is gonna be what is it, Swinub? So if you wanted a Swinub, I think the shiny odds are like 1 in 25. And given that they spawn all over the place, you'll find plenty of them. Yeah, but it's really cool. The only problem is that they still haven't linked up. I mean, I'm sure we'll get to the main course here in a bit, but they haven't quite yet linked up home with Brilliant Diamond and what is it, Shining Pearl yet.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I literally have a whole team. I could make a starting team of six shiny Gen 4 Pokemon, but I can't. But I can't bring them in. I can't import them. Because I can get them from Go into Home, but then not from Home into the new games. But
right.
They said apparently sometime early 2022 that'll happen. So that's what's up. Pokemon Go is awesome. It's really, really fun. People should play it. It's a great extension of the world of Pokemon in terms of just the whole, like, more of the catching and collection element of it, more so than the deep in the weeds combat and RPG narrative stuff. So, you know, I love it. Still playing it a bunch.
Cool.
Oh, and Squirtle Shades. The Squirtles with the shades came around too. That
oh,
was
nice.
Pretty big deal. Everyone's happy about that.
Do they do the circular shades or the triangle shades?
It's those aviator shades, so he looks like he's like a dirty cop. like a highway sheriff guy that's gonna plant drugs on you when he pulls you over and then tell you gotta pay him $200 or something.
Yeah, your tail light's busted and then punches it.
Yep.
Wes, how's Pokemon John, how's Pokemon Unite?
I haven't played much of Unite. They did add Decidueye though.
Oh.
He's really
very cool.
He's an attacker. He's got some interesting abilities. I'll just go over them really quick on his later ones. The early ones, who cares? But he gets like a Leaf Storm where he can push something away from him. He has a Razor Leaf, which creates this buff on him temporarily that he attacks multiple things within a certain range. He has a Spirit Shackle where he does this big charge up arrow shot. And then he has a Shadow Sneak where he gets a little movement buff and then... the very, very short one. And then his shadow goes out and attacks the nearest enemy. His ultimate is... I forget what his ultimate's called. But it's just a straight line where he just does a lot of attacks down the straight line. And aiming around and moving around and stuff. He's really cool. It does a lot of damage. But he has very low mobility. And so against guys like Absol and stuff like that, they tend to like just dump on him. Because they could just get in his face and that's that. I mean, he's just done after that. But, you know, he's a lot of fun. I played him a couple times. Other than that, there's nothing else going on.
How come Popplio's not in the game yet?
I know, right? I did see a like a leak, I think. I don't know how much of this is rumor, but about some upcoming ones. Like, they are going to be... This is just rumor. I don't know if this is confirmed or not, but a Blaziken. There was four total, and I only can remember Blaziken and Dragonite. Can't remember the others.
I think those two sound totally believable. They like to put Blaziken in things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's Dragonite. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fairly popular one.
Played Dragonite. I mean, that's awesome.
But yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So, I guess over to the main topic then, these Gen 4 remakes. Sure, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. I got a Brilliant Diamond version. John, what do you get?
Which John? You gotta be a little
less... Is it J-O-H-N or J-O-N?
H-N. J-O-H-N, John.
Oh, go ahead, John.
Oh, okay. Thank you, John. I appreciate that. I got Brilliant Diamond.
Oh, and I got Shining Pearl.
Okay, good.
Wait, you also got Brilliant Diamond, John? I thought you got Pearl.
I did get Pearl.
What did I say? I think you said Diamond.
I think I said Shining Diamond.
John, you're confusing everyone.
Sorry, John. So wait, so you guys got John. You got Shining Diamond and Brilliant Pearl?
I only got Pearl.
Right. I got Diamond.
Okay. I also got.
I didn't let them rake me over the coals for $120 on some games that came out 12 years ago or whatever.
Oh, they got my money.
So they got John's money. You got the, but you bought like gifts.
Yeah, I bought the double pack for my two nephews,
mm-hmm.
and one of them hasn't played it yet, and I keep on getting on him about it, and it's driving me insane. And the other one, the seven-year-old has been playing it, but he doesn't know how to do anything.
Right, yeah. So both of my kids actually have tried it. Mika's played it a little bit more. She's 8. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of like going around just like catching the first things that they see. Mika's kind of just learning how to like switch around her team and when to go heal at a Pokemon Center, because for a little bit there, she was just like only healing when all of her party members died. Like, well, no, before they all die, you got to go over there and heal them up. And sometimes you got to backtrack a little bit.
Talk to Nurse Joy, who in fact may be a Pokemon.
Mm.
Might be a Pokemon herself.
Is that a conspiracy?
Yeah, just because she looks and dresses a lot like a Chansey does. Like, that, down to like every little thing about her looks like. Or it's, you know, it's the chicken or the egg thing. It's like, one is looking like the other.
And like every Pokemon Center has a Nurse Joy. So
yeah, and they're all the same.
So you think Chanseys eventually become Nurse Joys?
Or vice versa. I mean, we don't really know how this healing property works.
So their Nurse Joy eventually like retires, so to speak, and becomes a Chansey? Or maybe
from a Chansey comes a Nurse Joy. Like, you know, they achieve some kind of altered state, some greater sentience, and become that. Yeah, I think that could be. Because it's like Officer Jenny doesn't really look like a Growlithe. She just hangs out with Growlithe all day long. So, you know, I don't know what the movers are doing. They're all Machokes. It's really strange.
So, John, how far are you and your version of Brilliant Diamond?
J-O-H-N or J-O-N?
Only one of you bought Diamond.
Oh, you said Diamond. Okay, I didn't catch that part. I'm at the third gym. I need to grind up a little because I tried to fight him and he kind of beat the tar out of me.
Really?
Yeah, my guys are a couple levels below him because I keep swapping them out and I don't know what I want to do. I was going to do an all poison team and then I was like, let's do all steel, but there isn't really any steel around right now, this early point in the game. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll just do who I want to use.
Come up with a theme later.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably just end up using whoever I want to use because I want to use Murkrow. I want to use Toxicroak. I want to use Empoleon. There's a few guys I want to use, but right now, this gen doesn't really have the best of selection on the early game. The early game in the routes outside of the underground, the selection's just the same 5 Pokemon up to the third gym, and just, dear God. Like,
yeah, you got to get pretty lucky to bump into some things, some unique encounters in the underground. Have you messed at all with like setting up your secret base in your underground, like the statues and stuff? I haven't really messed with that too much.
I didn't realize until today that I need to get the drill. And so I haven't gotten one. I'm all the way at that third gym. So
yeah,
I
you gotta
backtrack all the way back to get that drill still.
Yeah, you got to talk to that guy who gave you the Explorer kit to begin with.
But I think the statues are supposed to influence what kind of Pokemon appear.
Right.
I think it's doing something with that.
And I think that a lot of that, the statue stuff, will probably be a bit more of a full feature when it expands out to the national decks. There are some things that you can run into in the underground that aren't part of like the base 150 Sinnoh decks.
Yeah.
But it's much more limited than I thought it was going to be. Maybe like if I manipulate some statues a little bit more, because I kind of set it up to where, like, hey, let's try to encounter some more fire types, because the fire type is pretty limited in Gen 4. But really, the only other fire type I've seen poking around is a Houndoom.
Yep, I got one as well today.
Which is a really solid addition. Like, it's really great to have that one available if you need it for, like, the Ghost Gym or something like that. But it wasn't quite the plethora of things that they're adding in immediately. And I have to assume that once the Pokedex expands, they'll just start populating it with more stuff.
And it's also probably used for, like, the shiny hunts. If you get something, a particular type going, and then just start your shiny going.
Yeah, maybe. But, John, how far are you in Pearl?
I haven't made it as far as I would like, but I've made pretty good progress. I'm currently actually just walked out the door of Gym 4.
Nice.
So I got that one under control. Yeah, it's been going well. You know, because again, you can't turn EXP share off, so this game just naturally overlevels you. So I've been trying to keep a rotation.
Skipping trainers at certain points, because I have a couple of guys who are really overleveled, but
like, yeah.
Just skipping trainers at this point.
But you kind of have like that self-imposed difficulty to where, you know, if you want to just pick six and run, you'd probably breeze your way through a good bulk of the game. I hear that, you know, once you get to Elite Four, things kind of kick up a notch. But, you know, it's just the dearth of experience you're able to get, so, you know, from your trainers and your random encounters, you'd probably be, you know, pretty well leveled. But, you know, if you're playing it, like, it sounds like the three of us are playing it, to where you're rotating party members out to, you know, try to have an optimal team for what you're going against, or, you know, if you just want to mess around with different Pokemon, then yeah, you're not gonna, it gives you an opportunity to swap out your party members more, but if you're doing that, you're not going to be like the powerhouse that maybe you would have been if you just picked six.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And I mean, so for my playthrough, I've kind of got two themes that are going. And quickly, to that point, Wes, where you were saying you were skipping trainer battles, it's kind of worth it just to grab an amulet coin and just get the battles out of the way. Like, I've already got 180 grand, and that's just a fuck ton of money. So there is some value to those trainer battles, even if they're contributing so little experience, because you find yourself so overleveled. But my team... I'm doing a theme here where I'm only playing with Pokemon that at max will have less than 500 combined stats. So it's sort of making me play with things I otherwise wouldn't play with.
Which, for context, slightly worse than a starter.
Yes.
Yeah, a little less than a starter. And frankly, I found so many Pokemon literally just have flat 500 stats that I can't play with. But still, it's a kind of a rigid economy has made for a very, very fun playthrough. And it's got me using things I don't typically do. So I'm done with the fourth gym. I've got a rotation of about 10 Pokemon. And they're probably all about 7 or 8 levels above cap. I've got... and my theme is based on the game Hades, which everyone should play. I don't know if we're going to do a Game of the Year ranking, but I'll tell you my 1 through 10 is Hades.
I mean, are they sponsoring you? Like, Amazon sponsoring John? Like, I don't...
No, yeah. You know, I mean, I make a little money on the side, but, you know, we don't got to deal with that.
You know what? I'm just going to say two things. One, if Amazon was sponsoring me, I would give you guys a kickback, too. I'm not entirely selfish. Amazon, best website in the world. And also, if we're going to do a Game of the Year for 2021, Hades came out in 2020.
Yeah, well, it was the game I started playing in 2021 to deal with that. At any rate, so Pachirisu is on my team. I've always thought of Pachirisu as just another electric mouse, and you know what? It is another electric mouse. But generally, I think they're probably a lot better than what I think they are. Pachirisu's been pretty solid. He's got this pickup ability, which is just really useful. I mean, I remember I would do run-throughs where I was playing Ruby and Sapphire, and I would just have five Lanoons at a time, just with whoever else I wanted to grind up, just because the pickup was so broken in that game. But it's a good heaven pickup. This thing's got Nuzzle, which is perfect for catching. I mean, granted, it's not False Swipe, but it's nice just doing just a little chip damage and applying Paralysis makes catching things a lot easier.
Yeah, Paralysis is one of the more useful status ailments for catching because it doesn't wear off and it doesn't like do continuous damage.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I named it Zeus, of course, because Zeus is the god of thunder and he is an electric type. I've got my fully evolved now Staraptor, which I think clocks in at like 495 or something like that. So very, 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 very close to the brink, but not over 500. Also, real heavy hitter. It's a good one. You know, it's probably not the best of the first route birds, but it's certainly one of the better ones. Thing hits really, really hard. I think it's got over 100 speed on it, too. I gave it a shell bell to kind of keep it alive. And it also, at a high level, it learns close combat. And close combat is just such a nice little dunk move to just end a fight. It's just like, eat shit, good fight. So I really, really like this Staraptor. It's playing hard for me. I've got a Miss... Is it Miss Drevis? Miss Drevis currently, because it's only level 37. Once I get it up to 41, it'll learn Shadow Ball, and then I'll make it into a Miss Magius, which, again, clocks in just under 500, in spite of its 105 special attack, special defense, and speed.
Do you have a...
Absolute nightmare.
Do you have a Duskstone already?
Actually, my boy Zeus picked it up. That's one of the nice things about pickup. I've got a couple of Duskstones and a couple of what are the other ones? The not shiny stones. Dawn stones. Mm. Yeah, I got the Dawn stones. Oh yeah, Staraptor is named Hermes, and my Miss Magius is named Nyx.
Just real quick about your Miss Drevis, soon to be Miss Magius. Unless you like you are really committed to the idea of get it up to 41 before evolving, Shadow Ball is a purchasable TM in the big department store, which is I think the town with the
third Vial, gem, whatever,
Veilstone.
Oh, but that's cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm this far into it. I'm just gonna crank out four more levels and let it do its thing. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not like it's carrying the team or anything. It's just nice to have, but. Yeah, good point. Honestly, like, there's probably other Pokemon that I'd love to run Shadow Ball with. Shadow Ball is just a great, great move all around.
I have Shadow Ball on my Lopunny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can learn that?
Yep.
Does this? It's a special attack, though. Does Lopunny's
is still my make Punny?
I'm gonna have to look at my Lopunny here real quick. I think it's split special and physical attack.
Oh, really? Oh, that's similar. Weird.
Yeah, it is.
Mine weird. Mine definitely favors attack. Mine currently has 77 attack and 53 special attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but not like totally blowing it out of the water, though. You could probably still get some mileage out of that.
You are correct. It definitely favors physical attack. Mine certainly does as well. Special attack is not great. It's his worst stat. I think I put, now that I'm recalling, I put Shadow Ball on this Lopunny just as kind of a fuck you to the Ghost Gym because can't be hit by ghost moves.
Oh, that's a good point.
True.
That's pretty funny,
really good point. And yeah, I'll keep that in mind before I get to that gym. Yeah, I named that guy Theseus. Theseus is one of the bosses in the game of Hades. I have a Floatzel that I named Poseidon. He's fine. He's just a water type. I don't know. That's whatever. Nothing's particularly fun about it, but it's I wouldn't say tanky. But it holds its own. I can throw this thing out and really not worry about it taking too much damage when it's on par with another leveled Pokemon, an evenly leveled Pokemon.
Yeah, sort of a B-, you know?
Yeah.
Just like a serviceable water type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know this it's very, very fast. It's another very fast Pokemon. Mm. So good to have that. And last of my current roster that I have on hand is an Absol that I named Ares. God of War. And not the first time I've ever played with one of these things. Of course, this is the only one that really is one that I've done to death too many times that I probably shouldn't even be playing with one. But it clocks in under 500. It's got super luck.
Nice.
It has a special attack decreasing nature. I'd much rather have an adamant, but that's fine. At least it's got a little more defense. And yeah, it's currently running Night Slash and just regular Slash. And on the bench that I've been rotating in, I've got a Dustox that I named Electo, which is one of the Furies. It's fine. Good for catching stuff, but since I've added Zeus to the party, I've got some Apache Risu. I don't really use it much. I have got a Toxicroak on my team, it's currently a Krogunk, but can't wait to evolve it. This was a really good find too, by the way, because it had a Black Sludge in hand when I caught it.
Nice.
So that's
dry skin.
Really wonderful.
Dry skin or anticipation?
Oh, I believe it has dry skin as well.
Nice.
Double check that to make sure. Yes, dry
Mine
skin.
Mine does too. Mine does too.
Two more to go. Aphrodite, or Chansey. I named my Chansey Aphrodite. I can't evolve this one into a Blissey. I think once it becomes a Blissey, it has like 515 stats or something. So can't do that, but still quite an asshole at just that level. And I got an Apom. Ambipom clocks in at under 500, so I thought I'd try it. I've already got Lopunny on the team, so that was my other initial thought, is maybe I would do an all-normal team, but opted not to do that and stuck with this theme. So that's what I got there. That's fun. I'm really enjoying this. Making good use of the lesser used Pokemon, because it's very easy to go overboard with those additional evolutions, and you get your Garchomp after like the second gym, which is nuts.
Yeah.
You got Luxray in this, who's just an absolute monster.
They make it tougher in this remake to do that Garchomp trick after the second gym.
What's the Garchomp trick?
So, after the second gym, there's the cycle road that takes you back down south toward Orberg. Yeah?
Yes.
So, yeah. Underneath that path, once you get back down to the south end of it, you can go underneath that road and there's a cave, but there's also a secret entrance to the cave, actually obscured by the actual path of the bridge. So when you get in there, there's three boulders that are standing in your way that you have to use strength to move. And in the original versions, you could just kind of bump up against them. And as long as you weren't exiting the cave, it was still counting as a step. So you could still get an encounter that way. So you still had a chance of encountering a Gible, even though you weren't actually moving in further into the cave. I tried doing that in this version, and I was not getting any encounters. Maybe it works. Maybe I just wasn't patient enough. And then also, there are some things that I don't like about the locomotion in this game that made it just annoying to bump up against things. I would often accidentally just exit the cave as I was trying to move around.
So I think that what you need to do, if I remember this correctly, I think this is one of those scenarios where you need to faint the first... Well, you need to have it at the right level and then faint the first Pokemon in your party. Because it's one of those Pokemon that has a level thing. It'll spawn between levels 12 and 14.
Yeah, use the repel trick.
So yeah, you basically need to have the repel up and then a Pokemon at just the highest level to filter out all the other stuff you don't want, and it increases it from a 1% chance to a 20% chance.
I think it does have a higher encounter rate in this version, though, because once I actually got strength, I was able to go in there and I found three of them, relatively quickly while I was clearing out all the items that you could find in there. So I don't think they're trying to, they're trying to keep it away from you to a certain point in the game because they're trying to hide it behind strength, which is the sixth gym badge. But I don't think they're trying to keep it away from you once you get to that point.
Yeah.
I just ran into a giraffe rig.
Okay. You must be heading toward Pastoria. Yeah.
So, John, tell us about your run-through.
I've had considerable more time on my hands. I took a week off of work.
You beat the game twice.
I took a week off of work the week before Thanksgiving. Actually, the game wasn't out at that point. But week of Thanksgiving, things were very slow at work. So I was able to spend a lot of time with the game then. At home, it's been it's been weird because I've been hitting both Shin Megami Tensei and this game quite hard over the past couple of weeks. So much to the point where, you know, I need to take a break for a couple of days because my hands are starting to hurt again. But I just got the 7th gem badge. My Pokedex is currently sitting at 100 owned, 127 seen. So now that's exactly two-thirds of the way through the decks as it stands in Sinnoh before they expand out to the national decks. And like Ryan, I've been rotating through a lot of team members, and I've been doing a lot just to, like, obviously fill out the Pokedex. So I mentioned, like, I encountered three Gibbles quite quickly. That's because I was making a living dex, and you just need three for all the evolutionary branches there. So I just kind of, like, the ones that I have. I mean, I started with a Torterra. Des picked my starter for me. Evolved that up to level 33, and then just kind of got benched because I was messing around with some other stuff. I got the Staraptor to evolve into his final step. I'm running with a Luxray right now. It's currently on my team, which is a cool Pokemon. Kind of that one has more split attacks, where its attack and special attack are relatively close, so I don't really have a really focused moveset on it yet. Also have a Lopunny, like I mentioned before. This one's holding the Amulet Coin because it has the terrible ability Klutz, which makes it so it can't use its held item, like if it's like a berry or something. But Drain Punch, Shadow Ball, Payback, and Headbutt, so it's got a relatively diverse moves. I can actually learn quite a few moves, which I found surprising. So I'm running with the Lopunny and the Luxray. I also have a Toxicroak, which I also like. Dry Skin, holding a black belt. I also, like, in my party right now, have a Cherim, who has been surprisingly fun to use. It actually had a Miracle Seed when I caught it, which was very cool. Sunny Day, so I can get the flower gift form going, along with a Leech Seed, Growth, and Magical Leaf as the only attacking move in there. But, like, when you use Sunny Day, when Cherim uses Sunny Day and goes into, like, the flower form, Growth will raise the attack and special attack two stages as opposed to one, which I thought was kind of fun. I also have a Lumineon in my party right now because it's a water type, and I've used a Floatzel before, so, and I've never really used a Lumineon in a party. And, you know, like you were saying about Floatzel, it's a water type. It does what water types do. And I
Lumineon's always got one of, like, the best designs. I feel like it's underrated in terms of its design. It looks good.
Yeah, it's kind of like the butterfly fish looking thing.
Better than Floatzel. With how does this thing have the speed that it has for being such a little dumper? Like, it's so fat.
That has, like, got the big, like,
thing is not aqua dynamic at all.
And it has the flotation device around his neck. You know, think that would, like, keep it from. But its ability is Swift Swim. You know, weird.
Yeah.
And Gabite is my 6th team member right now. Sandveil. I was lucky enough to get a Sandveil Gabite in there, which has been very cool. I actually had that running with a Hippodown, which I have as well, who has the Sandstream ability. So it kicks up a Sandstorm and then it can go into Gabite for a little bit of team synergy there, which has been pretty fun. Let's see. I also have a Bastiodon, who is, of course, the fossil for this version. That I just kind of evolved and stuck in the box. I'm not sure if I'll mess with that. Pachirisu has been in my party quite a bit. It's up at level 40, so pretty much at parity with the party that I'm running with right now. Because it's just for the utility, like you were saying. Just be able to, like, nuzzle something paralyzed and then use Super Fang to take out half his HP. It makes most things relatively catchable very quickly. And then, like you were saying, pick up his... You know, it hasn't really picked up anything super amazing. It's got a couple of Dusk Stones for me, but then after that, mostly like super potions and repels and stuff. I did manage to find a female Combee, so I have a Vespiquen, who was a Pokemon that I messed around with a little bit, but have not stuck it back on the team just yet. I might, though. We'll see if the situation calls for it.
I've always found that one to kind of, like, live down to what it is.
Hmm.
You know, I've used it on multiple occasions, and it's never great. I know it's got those moves that are strictly it. I forget what it is. It's like Power Command or something like that.
Attack Order, Heal Order.
Thank you. Like, those are cool moves, but all in all, it just ends up being another, like, slightly above average flying bug.
Hmm. Yeah, like the bugs in this generation, I suppose outside of Heracross, are underwhelming.
Yeah, you get Krigatoon.
Yeah, Krigatoon, who, you know, I admittedly have not used very much. I only got a Krikatot up to level 15 to evolve and then boxed it. So, you know, maybe I'm underestimating the thing.
Let's not act like it's that was the very last bug on our bug ranking. It was the worst bug.
It was the worst bug.
Let's
Fuck
see
you, Krikatoon.
I got my Drifblim. That's up at level 40. It's so far not much in the way of like move diversity, but you know, we'll see how that thing pays off. Maybe a little bit later in the game. Don't forget on Fridays to check Valley Windworks because they just kind of camp out there, and there's no other chance to get them.
Next time on Fridays.
Yep. Only on Fridays. It's kind of like how
which Pokemon. Oh God.
Drifloon.
Yeah.
Drifloon. But you remember how like in Gen 2, you could catch a Lapras down in Union Cave, but only like on Saturdays.
Yes.
Did the same thing with Did the same thing with this one.
What Pokemon are showing up at night? I haven't seen anything special for that.
So far, like Hoot Hoot, Misdreavus only comes out at night. In the forest, there aren't a ton of day-night specific ones.
Does the game allow for day skipping?
Yeah, you just have to change your switch clock. I'm pretty sure it uses the same calendar.
Oh, okay.
I got my Riolu down in the cave after the 6th gym. That's a Lucario now. I mentioned I have a Hippo down already. I got a Drapion. Which, just of all, like, this thing, you know, it's boxed right now, but it might end up on the team at some point because it's got the sniper ability, which is really cool. And it's got
very cool.
Several moves, just, like, that it learns on its own with a high crit ratio, like Poison Tail, Night Slash, Cross Poison. So, probably can get some really good use out of that one just playing the crits.
Have you already mentioned Luxray?
Yeah, Luxray's on my team.
Okay, I was about to say, I knew you'd be using Luxray.
I do like electric types. They're quite fun. But yeah, but those are like, I pretty much put some effort into trying to give some experience to ones that were new to Gen 4, because I like doing that in these Pokemon games, kind of experimenting with the stuff that was built for that gen. But there's at least half of the Pokedex is like repeat stuff. What do you guys think of like the Pokedex in this particular generation, up until the point where they expanded out to National Dex?
I'm trying to think of which ones are the exclusives.
Shinx, Lopunny, Toxicroak, Drapion.
Yeah,
Shellos, I mean, some of them are really good.
Lopunny,
Lucario.
Then you get a lot of you get a lot of the Tacon evolutions, but then you also got like Perugly, Stuntank, Bronzong, Spiritomb, Tipidown.
I was using a Bronzong for a bit, and then I got really bored of it.
Bronzor is really annoying to have to level up. Bronzong actually came in really handy for me in the Steel Gym, I think it was, because Lucario is also a dual fighting type. But yeah, like
I really want to use Bastiodon again, but he's actually exclusive to your guys's.
I'll see if I can find another fossil for you.
Yeah, just egg it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think mine's a male though. I don't know. Is Ditto available early in the game?
Ditto's in here somewhere. I don't know where. I've already seen a video. Ditto's in there somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Ditto's available towards the end. Probably kind of about where you're at, John.
Okay.
I think Bastiodon is going to be really good because he's got really high defenses and everything. And now we have moves like Gyro Ball.
Mm-hmm. You guys aren't interested in using a Mothim or a Wormadam?
No.
That's another one, like, completely forgettable. I always forget that those things are actually in this game.
You're not going to use Carnivine either? You're telling me you're going to leave Carnivine on the bench?
I do have a Carnivine. He might stay on the bench. I don't know. Maybe not. We'll see. Mine's got Levitate.
Again, there's a lot of interesting stuff if you take into account all of the added evolutions. And I guess, isn't this the one that, you get Leafeon and Glaceon as well. So, yeah. I mean, there's that.
When do you guys get Fly?
After the 4th gym, I think it is.
Okay. I thought it was after the 3rd.
Maybe.
Could be.
I want to backtrack, but I don't want to because it's annoying to backtrack without fly.
Hmm.
But to your point, John, you were asking, what do we think of this? This is far and away the worst Pokedex in all eight generations.
Yeah.
This, sadly, it's got a couple of high points, but that's it. There's just not a lot here.
You don't like Bibarel?
No, I mean, I'm fine with Bibarel, I guess. Like, I don't know. There's just, yeah, like, the ones that stick out, I'm like, that's really cool. I think Luxray is a really fun Pokemon, because who doesn't like big lions? That's cool. Garchomp is one of my favorites of the pseudo-legendaries. Lucario's pretty cool. That's three Pokemon. That's three. Mm. That's it. Right? And again, you don't get to say that, like, Licky Licky, Rhyperior, Tangrowth, Electrive, Magmortar, Togekiss, Yanmega, Mamoswine. I'm just listing. Like, there's so many good additional ones, but when you're talking about what Pokemon did they create
right
for this, there's, like, nothing.
There's really not much. You get stuff like the Drapion and Toxicroak, and but, I mean...
Oh, and we talked about that off-air,
very light.
Oh, sorry, Wes. We talked about that off-air. Yeah, no. Like, that they went crazy with Legendary, too. There's just tons and tons of Legendaries in this one.
Yeah, so I think, like, the thing that annoyed me most about Gen 4 when it originally came out, and what kind of annoys me about this Pokedex as well, is that you're limited to the 150 until you beat the Elite Four. So all those things you were listing off, Ryan, all of, like, the Magmortar and the Electivire and all those, like, extra step things are mostly not available to you until you get to the post-game. But, like, a lot of the stuff that is available to you that is repeats from previous generations are the things that you've seen in most of the games before, like Abra, Magikarp, Ghastly, Machop, Geodude. These things come up over and over again across all generations, and Zubat. They're so, like, pervasive, and every cave you go into, it's just filled with Zubats and Geodudes. Clefairy, like, I suppose, like, in Gen 4 remakes, it's interesting to have a fairy type available in there, but in the original versions of this, Clefairy is another normal type that you could run into, like, Chadot, not a repeat, new to the generation. Like, who the fuck cares about Chadot? What is this? What is the value of a Chadot? Maybe I should use one and try to find out. Pelipper, we just saw him in Gen 3. They're not even, like, taking good Gen 3 ones and putting in this one. You get, you know, your Wurmples. Roserade is a legit good Pokemon. Wishcash and Barboach. You know, who cares? Unown. I think they have Unown as an available Pokemon because they have that cave in their Girafarig. Like, who cares about that thing? Tentacool, again, like, available in every generation up to this point. And also, we didn't mention Snover as a new addition to this generation. No love for Snover or Abomasnow among us?
It's just hard to keep the thing alive. Too many weaknesses.
I was using him in my grass-only run-in Sword, and he did really good in the beginning, just mow through things, and they just hit a spot where you just can't keep them alive.
Yeah, so none of us are really big fans of the ones that we have to mess around with. Like, for a majority. Like, I think there is some fun stuff to play around with, but only, like, a handful of, like, true standout of things. Like, if we're doing, like, an ideal run-through, not much that we would want to put on a team of, like a dream team of Pokemon here.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, like, the limitation of using the weaker stuff has really got me using a bunch of Pokemon that I'd never really used. So it's a credit to kind of all of the games that you can always pick it up and run it with a totally different team, and it's a brand new game.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the game is balanced for that sort of play. It's a recurring theme among Pokemon games about how, like, the story mode, the regular run through is usually very easy. And I think that's because the game is sort of tuned to being able to use just about anything, and even, like, first forms of things, if you so choose. If you want to do, like, a baby Pokemon run or something like that, it is actually doable. But what do you guys think of Sinnoh as a region?
I know John's not very positive on it.
Yeah, I think both of us Johns are not very positive about it.
Take us away, John. What do you think?
Just that it's a very convoluted map. It doesn't feel very easy to navigate. It's just kind of confusing. I feel like there's not... It's, you know, you never really get lost. That's the good thing about it, because there's only so many places to explore and go to that you kind of eventually figure it out. And I have already played through this game a bunch of times, so I kind of generally just by instinct kind of know where I'm supposed to go and what I'm supposed to do. But even then, I still find myself being like, wait a minute, where am I going?
And that they do. Sort of
go ahead.
And they do mark on your map when you pull up your menu. About they give you like the little blurb, like go to this thing and get this gem, and then like if you check your town map, there's a little flag in the place you're supposed to go. And, you know, that's usually pretty helpful if you're not quite sure where they're wanting to send you next, or you're kind of like speeding through text really fast. But sometimes you'll like open it up, and I think the only time I really had a problem in this game was the little blurb that it gave me was explore more of Pastoria, and it was after I got the gem, and there was like a Team Galactic grunt randomly in Pastoria that I had to talk to in order to initiate the next sort of narrative beat of the game. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, you're kind of going through this sort of like linear in that you're not required that much to backtrack to previous areas in order to like accomplish your next goal, but like just kind of tangled, like a really long strand of spaghetti, but it's all one strand.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know, do you like this new high-res version of the game? Do you think that this is like a good art style for this new reimagining of it?
Oh, I'm on record from when they announced it saying that I don't like this art style. What do you think, John?
I think it's fine. It's fine, because it's based on... It's not like it's a sword or anything new. It's just a remake of the old one. So, I mean, I can't really think of a different kind of style that would have been
better or anything. I think the thing about the art style was that in previous remakes, it would always adopt the style of the generation that it was following. So, you know, Heart Gold, Soul Silver adopts the style of the original Diamond Pearl, and really optimize it as well, so they got more out of that particular game engine, I suppose. But then, you know, Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire took on like the Gen 6 style. So I think the expectation was when Gen 4 was going to be remade, that they would take the Sword Shield style, and they did not.
Instead, they opted for Link's Awakening.
A worse version of Link's Awakening. Like, I wasn't a fan of that art style for that tremendous game either. But I think it looked better than this. It had a bit more pizzazz.
I think that it is very sandboxy, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of detail. It's very colorful. It generally looks good. I think that it is kind of a funny thing that as the generations have gone on, they've changed the proportions of the sprites into fully 3D models that look like actual people. Mm-hmm. It's funny that they're going back to these bobbleheads.
Yeah.
You know, these ones that are just like 3/4 of their body mass is their head.
Just when you're outside of battle, when you're in battle, they're regular size and stuff.
Yeah, good point. And when you actually are in the battles, you do get to see what these characters look like, you know, fully formed. I'm okay with it to the point where I give it a pass. I think it genuinely looks okay. It's kind of cool. I wasn't expecting them to try to rebuild this thing, and I wouldn't have even expected them to try to do this thing to look like Sun or Moon. I mean, I think that this is, you know, you got what you would expect to get with this, and they did okay.
I think it would have been really awesome if they really fully committed, because what their intention was to make a very faithful remake of the fourth generation. And I think to some points to a fault. But I think it would have been really awesome if they just went full pixel art. Just made a higher res pixel art remake of this game rather than using these chibi models. But one of the things I think it kind of like trips over its own feet in certain ways because it is such a faithful remake and that like everything's kind of grid based with like the layout of all of your environments and caves and forests and buildings and stuff. Everything's like very blocky the way it's laid out. However, your character is not moving on a grid. So when you're playing like these old pixel art grid based Pokemon games, you press forward one time, you're going to move one square. And it's not the case in these remakes, and you especially notice it when you're on your bike. You pretty much have full range of motion, and there are people who have sort of exploited parts of the game because you can move diagonally, which you could not do in the original versions for obvious reasons. But it makes especially like moving quickly, especially the bike, kind of unwieldy because the game doesn't do like much to where, you know, you kind of like parkour around things. You end up like bumping into things a lot, or at least I do.
I can't use the bike.
I just can't. The edges are very sticky. Just in the environment, when you're moving around, you touch a wall, you feel like you just got stuck in it.
Yeah.
You know, just navigating around corners feels difficult. You just constantly find yourself like, you know, bumping into the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. That's kind of annoying.
There was one moment in the game where I was playing it, that part under the bridge. I don't know why, but the encounter rate just seemed high. I was just running into stuff every two steps. Just, here's another fight. And I got stuck on a tree for like 10 minutes.
Oh my god.
Because I kept bumping into the tree, going into a fight. Bump into the tree, go into a fight. Bumped into the tree, and I got stuck in this thing of just constant ponytas. And I couldn't get away from this stupid tree. I'm like, I just want to get away from this bridge now. I don't even care. Just get me out of this bridge.
The game was like, yes, we do have fire types. Here they are.
Yeah, here's the ponytas. I'm thinking about using a ponyta. I've never used one before.
Oh, no?
And the game really wants to give me one. So I'm like, eh.
I would kind of describe it the way I would describe, like, Float Soul or Lumineon. Like, they're water types. Yeah. Rapidash, he's a fire type.
Yeah.
Get the job done.
Or what, a psychic fairy?
Oh, yeah, or a psychic fairy.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was one other thing about the environments that kind of stood out to me, and that there are certain places where the grass is tall and you can't take your bike through it. And when you're running through it, it slows you down. And it's something that also appears in Gen 5, except in Gen 5, when you're going through like the tall grass or the dark grass, as it is in Gen 5, you have a chance for a double encounter, which is not the case in these remakes. It was a bit of a bummer because I liked how they could do these double encounters so you can, you know, churn through battles a little bit quicker and rack up some EXP. But like going back to what we were talking about with the Pokédex, with like how it's limited at the start with only the 150, which I think is the smallest available Pokédex since Gen 1. It takes you back to where there's only like that 150 available, whereas in Gen 2, of course, there's the 250. And then in Gen 3, what was the Pokedex count in Gen 3? Was it 200 or did they go up to 250? I don't remember.
I actually don't remember either.
But neither here nor there. Once they open it up to the National Dex, you know, you of course have like the 483, I think it was, to that point. And like we've mentioned on multiple podcasts here, it really felt like Gen 4 was bookending the National Dex as it was then. Because, you know, you get some different pre-evolutionary forms. You get, you know, some third-step evolutions or second-step evolutions for lots of different Pokemon that they had introduced in, you know, Gens 1 and 2. And it felt like this was them, like, closing the book on it. You have everything available in this one game. And then when you move over to Generation 5, it's 150 entirely new, no repeats at all. And like they were trying to move on from the National Dex as it was before and create a new Dex building off that 150. But then, you know, Black 2, White 2 rolls around and starts reintroducing all the older ones anyway.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You sick of those Zubats? We got a new boy named Swoobat.
Yes.
Get ready. Tired of those Tentacruels? Here's your Frillish.
Hey, do you hate Machop? Here's Timber.
Oh, hell yeah. But no, I think I totally 100% agree. I feel like they exhausted everything they could do with that. you know, and by the way, you are right. It was basically exactly 100 that got added. At the end of the second gen, you had 251 Pokedex entries.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a good, yeah, it's a good place to stop and just kind of start fresh and just kind of rethink the game, you know, and again, not drag you down seeing the same stuff every time, not every time you throw an old rod in the water, you get a Magikarp kind of scenario.
You know, Gen 5, I think they put a lot of thought into, like, here's 150. How do we create a balanced Pokedex of just 150? And so much of, like, especially Gen 2 was balancing out what they did in Gen 1. And then going forward, they always had to keep in mind, okay, well, what is going to keep the entire national decks balanced as a whole? And maybe that's why some of, like, the Gen 4 introductions were kind of lackluster, is because they were always thinking about how does this fit into the larger scope of what we've created so far. Or maybe they just decided we want to create a cricket bug and a bee.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I don't know.
All right.
What do you guys think of the underground?
Have you spent much time in it, John?
I spent a lot of time in it.
Find anything interesting?
Not really.
I like how you actually have, like, these different rooms where you're doing things like catching Pokemon. It's not just tunneling into the walls and finding stuff. I do wish I was finding more interesting things, not only Pokemon, but things like actually digging into the wall at a higher rate. I've only found one fossil so far, and outside of the spheres, I may have found, like, one heart scale.
As I recall, I think once you get the national decks, it opens up to a bunch of stuff that you couldn't already get. Yeah, there comes a point where what you can get from the mini game in the underground changes dramatically, and it opens up, like, evolutionary stones, fossils, things like that.
When do you open up the other sections of the underground?
I think it's based on the geography of where you are entering the underground.
Because right now, being at the third gym city, I'm still just dropping into the same general area of the underground. I have my whatever's available to me fully unlocked, but I still see, like, two separate kind of networks still shaded in.
So when
tried recently, but I'm in the same area as you, Wes, basically. It's every time I've gone down there, which has been maybe like five or six times, it's been that same general area.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that I know there comes a point where you can expand out into the other ones, probably again, like when you're further along in the game.
Yeah, when you enter...
I was just wondering if John had more knowledge being at the 7th gym.
When I enter the underground from the town with the 6th gym, the sort of harbor town, Canaclave, I think it's called, I was in a different section of the underground that was sort of like sequestered off from the other ones. I don't know if they ever interconnect, but I ran around in there for a little while and it was just kind of like the same as the rest of them. It had the same, like, base type rooms. Like, this one's a cave and this one's a beach and this one's, you know, a grassy area.
I like the crystal one. Mm. That one's really cool. I'm only seeing Ghastlies in it in the Houndoom.
Hmm.
Yeah. I like it though. I think it's really cool. That mini game is just addictive. I love it. It's so much fun doing that. And yeah, like the different regions that you go into. I know I've got a couple of Pokemon on my team that I found in that area that I hadn't been able to source out in the wild. So yeah, definitely worth it. But yeah, I've been getting tons of the pieces, the whatever it is, the small, medium, large pieces. I've got a couple of heart scales. I want to say a water stone, maybe. I know I got some kind of evolutionary stone. But yeah, and again, tons and tons of those fucking statues. You get lots of statues.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it. It's a fun fun little mini game that they've developed there.
Yeah, I think as far as like additions to the game or things they expanded on, I think it was a really good idea that they had to expand on that that underground.
Oh, and I'm glad you can tap it.
Was that mini game the same as the original? I can't remember what the digging little.
Yeah, it's essentially the same game.
Yeah, it's quite similar.
But yeah, same deal. You just gotta tap it, and they'll tell you up front how many pieces are there, and then the little bar fills up, so you can't go crazy hitting everything, and you just gotta try to find the pieces.
So the other changes that I think were really good, really smart changes that they made. We mentioned last week how the HMs work, how like just once you obtain the item and you have the gym badge that you need to use it, you can just use the thing and not have to take a Pokemon around that actually knows them. It is
no longer have to deal with defog.
Yeah, well, you still have to defog things, which is also annoying. But one thing that is strange is like Flash is not considered one of those HMs.
No, that was sad because I did go through that maze cave, mm-hmm. which was really annoying.
Wayward Cave, I think. Wayward Cave, I think it's called.
Yeah, I wish I knew that cave was going to be like that ahead of time, because it's been years since I played, or else I would have just stocked up on repels, because that took me way too long.
There's also the Pokeball stickers that you can do, and like give them like little bits of flair when they pop out of the Pokeball, which the stickers were in the original versions of Gen 4. I don't know if the extra little flair of them popping out of the Pokeball was. I don't know for sure. But it is a fun way to like give the Pokeball a little extra personality, you know, especially if you catch something early on. You don't have like your specialized Pokeball to give it a little bit more aesthetic appeal by catching it in a different ball. Kind of have like...
I think it's delightful. I think it's another weird little resource that you kind of want to harvest in the game. It's very fun. I like it, and it looks cool when they come out of them. And you can, I kind of want to see like online when people that have like a full stock of stickers can completely like flush out a 20, because they give you like 21 spaces for them.
Mm-hmm.
So you could probably make some really intricate and cool designs with it. But for the most part, I just slap. I've got my Staraptor because I use it so much. Pretty much just slapped with every single sticker I find right now. So it's chaos whenever he comes into the frame.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's a cute touch.
You guys got anything else that you think were smart additions or the things that you appreciate about the remake?
I actually got a whole list to go through, you guys.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, wow.
Some of us
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, Wes, anything you want to talk about before I go through it? Because it might already be on my list anyways.
Who's Wes?
Do your thing, dude.
Okay. So we already talked about the no HMs. I love it. That's great. It's kind of a throwback. It's for a throwback game. It's an honor and touch. Also, instant access to the Pokebox.
Oh yeah.
Very, very nice of them to do that. That's very Sword and Shield of them. So I like that a lot. We just talked about the Pokeball stickers, John. I think you would appreciate this. There's a better map. A map that also is really good for tracking. Honey and berries. Mm-hmm. Seems like it's just much more useful and easier to navigate. Maybe it's just that it's a high def, so it's a little more detailed.
I've spent probably too much time, more time than I should have, harvesting berries, because they are just spread all over the map. You don't have like your one like harvesting area. So usually one of the first things that I do when I start up the game for the day is I ride around the entire map and harvesting all my berries and planting new ones, which, you know, lets me get my steps in, which is handy because there's so many friendship evolution Pokemon in this version in Gen 4. So many Pokemon need that friendliness level and just to get out of their first stage of evolution that, you know, it's one way to make that happen.
It's just based on steps, really. That's the best way to do it. Because I'm trying to evolve my Togepi right now.
That's one of the more efficient ways of building up your friendship. Like, if you have, like, a Pokemon, like, walking outside the Pokeball, which is a great addition. I think it's really cool that they are able to have Pokemon follow you around. And they all have, like, their own little animations, their own running speeds, which is really fun. that they put some effort into that. But like you have them follow you around outside the Pokeball. You stick them with a Soothe Bell, and you're going to be building up friendship more efficiently. Because you can do things like feed them Poffins, or you can like give them berries, or win fights. But really, like all that sort of stuff. Like if you want to evolve them at as low a level as possible, just walking around is going to be the fastest way to do it.
Yeah, it's funny. Like one of the worst ways is the massage. They actually have that woman that will once a day give a Pokemon a massage, and it only gives them like 2 friendship points, which is like the equivalent of winning a battle.
Mm-hmm.
When do you know it's about to evolve? Like
No idea. Starts grinding on your, kind of starts grinding on your leg.
No, I don't know. I don't know if there's like a friendship checker. I think there might be in one of the towns, but really, I use like the step counter little app like they had in the original versions. And if like once I hit like 10,000 steps, I'll say, okay, let's do a fight and see if it evolves. And if not, I'll do another like 10,000 steps and see if it evolves then. Hmm. Yeah. Ryan, John, let's get back to your list.
Okay, so back to my list. Yeah, so we were talking about that. We talked about the underground. I like that they have fashion and outfits in this one,
yeah,
where you can just like completely, and it's not like you're buying gloves and shades and a hat and boots. It's just like one badass outfit, you know. There's not a lot of shops. I think I've only found one so far, and the outfits are crazy expensive. They're like 80. It was like 85 grand for one of them. Like I was like, okay, wow. But you know, if you're doing your battles and you got your amulet coin, you're making your moat.
Yeah, you using your verse seeker to repeat the ones against like the rich people.
Yeah. So that's really cool. I like that. I just kind of I haven't bought one yet, so I don't know how it works, but I hope it changes your actual chibi sprite in the game and not just your in battle character.
It does.
Oh, good. We just talked about walking with Pokemon. I think that's a really cool feature. It's kind of nice seeing them move around. Shiny hunting is back, and shiny hunting in this game is really, really nice. It actually resembles what you used to do in the 6th gen, where it's about patches of grass, and then you need to roll it and then move to the right grass to repeat the chain. Problem is, the only way you can start doing it is once you get like the Poke Radar, which comes to you from, I think, Oak, it said, once you've completed the entire national dex. Not caught everything, but at least seen everything. Which is brutal. That's brutal.
Yeah, that's like also, post-game stuff.
Yeah, yeah, this is totally in the realm of the post-game things. Like, you gotta be doing this, but it's actually a really convenient way to do it. And once you... And granted, like, it's hard to get a chain up to 40, but once you get it to 40, you'll know from the patches of grass if it's shiny. And there's like a 1% chance that it's going to be shiny, and there's 5 patches every time. Like, you can go online and watch a tutorial if anyone wants to see like how to do it right. I haven't even done it yet myself. But once you get the chain up, you basically just run around and reset it every 50 steps until you see the shiny patch, and then you know you're guaranteed to get a shiny. So, very cool feature. What else we got? There's currently 2 exploits that I don't think they've patched. One is, you know, there's that well that you get the Spiritomb from.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn, but I forget exactly how this works, but basically, I think it's if you turn off the autosave, or no, if you have autosave on, but then you close without saving after you catch the Spiritomb, just close the game down. Reopen it, the Spirit Tomb will be there again.
Yeah, yeah, you can repeat the encounter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting little exploit, and there was an update today. I don't know if it patched that out, but I think it's likely that that probably won't stick around for very long. But in order to get that Spirit Tomb, you have to like go through like the effort of finding NPCs down in the underground and actually talking with them. You have to do it a bunch of times. It's like upwards of 40 NPCs that you got to find down there, and then
wow,
and then it will of course allow you to initiate that encounter with Spiritomb. But yeah, once you have the encounter, catch it, the game will autosave after the battle. But if you don't hard save, it won't like record that you've already done the encounter. So you know, if you just like close the game and then open it back up, Spiritomb will be in your box, but you can still roll it again.
That's pretty cool. And to think that like you'd be on your second gym badge,
mm-hmm.
and to have Spiritomb in your hand is pretty sweet. That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
What that patch day is probably fixing is even worse than this Spiritomb thing, which is the fact that you can very easily dupe Pokemon by using your battle box. It's a trick that you are doing involving moving Pokemon in and out of your battle box. But when you do so, you will literally create carbon copy dupes of a Pokemon. So you could literally take a shiny legendary and have it hold a Master Ball and do to it, and it would create a duplicate of that same thing holding a Master Ball.
I hadn't heard of this one.
Yeah, it's been going around. I mean, again, I'm sure that they patched this the second they could. And I don't know what they're going to do to people that have already been exploiting this. I don't care. I don't know if you remember, like, back in the day, you could just scan QR codes and get max IV shiny Pokemon, as many as you wanted. Like, the game is so broken with the ways that you can dupe Pokemon in the past that it's sort of like, all right, whatever, you're doing it now, who cares? But, again, I'm sure that that's something that they want to take out of the game as quick as they can. And lastly, I've never had any love for these contest halls, but I've played it a few times this time around. I'm enjoying it, I dare say. Oh, nice. This is another really fun minigame. It's very much a tap-along kind of music thing. You got to keep with the beat. It's good. It's a really nice way to spice up something that I usually just spam the A button to get through.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all my big like this is the makes it a HD version stuff.
Cool. Going back to what you're saying about duplicating things, like the game in some ways is not really technically up to snuff. There are some things like the duplication glitch, like the fact that you sort of cheese some routes of the game because you're able to move diagonally. I think like specifically in the ice gym, there's like a gym puzzle that you can just kind of go like circumvent because you're able to move diagonally as opposed to just being able to move forward in the original versions. Also, I've noticed that just like organizing items is a little weird in your bag. Like I can tell it to like organize my TMs by number. And then when I pick up a new one, rather than like dropping it to the bottom of the list or organizing it by number, it just ends up in random places, which is a bit strange.
Yeah.
Well, you know, nothing game breaking. I don't think there's anything that even interferes with gameplay to the point where, you know, it makes things unplayable. I think the only like technical issue that interferes with gameplay is what we were talking about before with how you described like the walls being sticky and just navigation not being super smooth.
Well, it's funny that you're talking about the ice gym skipping one because I saw someone post in the Pokemon Reddit that there's a way to soft lock yourself accidentally in the ice gym.
Where yes!
You basically trap yourself between a bunch of the snowballs.
Yep.
That's pretty
I heard cool. about that.
So I'm going to be on eggshells walking through that one.
Always have an escape rope.
Yeah.
So, John, you got anything else we need to address before we close it out here?
No. I mean, I have fonder memories of this game than what I'm experiencing now.
Shots fired.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I mean, it's still Pokemon, but...
I think that's
not really anything that shiny and special.
Yeah, that's the thing for me, too, is that, like... as many complaints as I could have about this game, like I'm still playing Pokemon. This is still like really fun, light and breezy RPG. It's like a lot more accessible than something like a Shin Megami Tensei V, which I'm still having a really good time with. But that game's intense. Pokemon is not intense, and I, you know, don't really particularly want it to be.
I almost botched Megami.
Oh, it's so good, Wes.
We got a It was an online order, online only version of it, like the deluxe pack of it.
Oh,
came with like a bag and like a book of demons and this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it, with my discount, we would have gotten it for like $70. So for like an extra $10, you get all this stuff with it. I was like, I'm tempted. I would like to try the game out.
Get all this swag.
I was like, eh. If it's still there, I may buy it tomorrow. But
I really like that game. It is so fucking good. But anyway, that's not Pokemon.
No, it's not.
I remember liking this game when it came out as well. It's funny because like I have a sort of gap in the sort of in the chronology that I played Pokemon. I, of course, played a lot of Gens 1 and 2. Gen 3, I think I may have played a few minutes of on like Jeremy's Game Boy Advance SP. But I never owned my own Game Boy Advance until I got a original DS back in 2004. So Ruby and Sapphire were sort of these gaps in Pokemon, and it wasn't, I didn't go back and play those until after I played Diamond Pearl. And, you know, there are things about the original version of Diamond and Pearl that, you know, you can't avoid. You notice them as soon as you play them, like how the game runs a little bit slow and a little bit choppy. But, you know, they did, like, so many smart things in that generation, like dividing the physical and the special attacks, and online trading was huge. There was just the post-game with, like, filling out the national decks I found really fun. So that's a game that I spent a ton of time in originally. And even though I'm building out a national decks right now, you know, I don't think that I'm immediately going to start building out the national decks in this version.
Yeah.
And, you know, because Arceus comes out, like, in a month and a half. So there's no time for that.
That's going to be really good. I can't wait for that one.
John, any parting shots here?
No, the game's good. I think they did a good job with this. They, you know, it's not mind-blowing. It's not making me rethink where this game stands in the history of Pokemon, but they did a good enough job with it that, you know, I'm enjoying it. It's fun. I think when it comes to those remakes, like, to me, Oris still stands as, like, holy fuck, that was an amazing experience. How they totally redid that. I think that's a really special game. But other than that, no, they did what they had to do and turned out a solid B of a game.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. Good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Cool. Well, next up is going to be a mini show. We'll talk about whatever we damn well please. I got some games that we can go through. Wes, I do want to hear about Ruined King, if you've made any progress on that one.
I'm going to be making more progress, but I was trying to catch up a little bit in Pokemon. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have a lot of positive notes and some negative notes.
Oh, good.
Notes.
Ah, I love it.
Little column A, little column B.
Good. So yeah, and then we'll keep things going with a retro show this month. Retro show might be a little bit different. We'll still like cover the topics we want to cover, but there really weren't a whole lot of video games coming out in December of the year 2000.
I think it's going to be loaded into movies because there's virtually no music to talk about either.
I do want to address some sort of a video game topic to do at the top of the show, but you know, we'll discuss what we want to do with that off air and figure it out. And then we'll close it all out with the official show at the end of the month. And I think the end of the month will be our big 2021 retrospective. So I'll start sending you guys the list of the games that came out if you want to add anything to it.
Okie doke.
But that's it.
Alrighty.
That's the end. Till next time.
So long.
Until next time.